بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقد روي في الخبر عن الصادق الأبر عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال: من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers in Islam, we have come into the last phase of this auspicious month of Ramadan. About 5 days to go. The curtains are about to come down. We are about to bid farewell to this beautiful month in which we experience spiritual ecstasy. We benefit from the mercy of Allah, the blessings of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah. So as the month is coming to a close, we need to do a bit of self-analysis, a bit of stock-taking, that the days that have slipped through our fingers, have we utilized maximum benefit from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the beauty of this month? If to a certain extent also, we were able to do justice to this month, then we need to make shukr to Allah ta'ala, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and keep hope, make an effort that for the remaining days, especially if Laylatul Qadr is still about to come, to ensure that we add on to our Nama Amal, to our Book of Deeds, exert ourselves even further. And if unfortunately we have allowed the month thus far to go by in negligence, we have not derived the benefit we ought to have derived, then we need to show remorse. We have a few days left. Days in which we can secure our forgiveness, pour our hearts out, weep before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent for our sins. Let the month leave us in such a condition that inshallah we have a clean slate, that our sins are forgiven, and we make a firm resolution to establish the amal that we were guided to establish in the month of Ramadan, that our masajid must be filled to capacity from Fajr till Isha, as we are habitual of watching, seeing in the month of Ramadan. So if we allowed these days to go by negligence, we can still make amends. Allah has given us respite. We have a few days to make up. Around the corner we have the day of Eid arriving. A day of joy, a day of happiness. Most of us will be meeting our family members. Those who are fortunate to have their parents will go meet their parents, their grandparents. If parents are no longer there, we meet our siblings, our uncles, aunts, a day of rejoicing. But one thing to ponder over: we go and meet family members in order to maintain our ties, our connection with them. We inquire about their welfare, their well-being. But let us think for a little while. Has Shariat restricted this maintaining of family ties, meeting with them, inquiring about their welfare, only for occasions like Eid? Or should it be an ongoing thing? Shariat has emphasized the importance of maintaining family ties. If we don't have the opportunity daily, at least at regular intervals, In this day of technology, if they be in another town, in another country too, not too difficult to pick up the phone, inquire about their well-being. Your siblings, your brother, your sister, could be dying of hunger in a financial crisis. But we are not bothered because we do not inquire about the welfare. We wait for occasions, thinking that only the day of Eid is a day of maintaining family ties. Or some other occasion, a wedding takes place in the family. Your sister's daughter gets married. You buy the niece a gift. You buy an outfit for your sister as well. And you feel that it's sufficient. That is not enough. More important to them is for you to inquire about their welfare. Something that should be ongoing. The Quran Kareem in the verse which I recited very emphatically points out the importance of this. That وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Two things mentioned. Fear that Allah, by whose name you ask for your rights from other people, you put Allah Ta'ala in between, for the sake of Allah, give my rights. But unfortunately, we use Allah Ta'ala to procure our rights, but we are not prepared to give the opposite party their rights. It cannot be one-way traffic. Both should respond in equal measure. Just as you would like to take your rights, you have to give the rights as well. Together with that, wal arham, fear Allah Ta'ala in the aspect of family ties. Maintain family ties. Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. Allah is watching over you. Today we are living in a world where there is no communication between children and parents. Children at loggerheads with their parents. Siblings not seeing eye to eye. Ties cut off with uncles and aunts. And then we feel that on a day of Eid, just by showing our faces, we have fulfilled our duty. We have done justice. That is not justice. Maintaining family ties should be an ongoing process. At regular intervals, inquire about them. Many of us have roots in India. Up to some decades ago, many of us did not know who our family members are. Today, because there is a property boom in India, like the gold rush of Johannesburg in the 1800s, there's a gold rush in India, all rushing for their slice of the cake. Now you know who's your first cousin, second cousin, third cousin, 45th cutting. Now you know the names of places, Valsad, Nausari, Surat. Previously you would be asked, people would ask, which is your gum? And they say, bubble gum. You didn't know the name of your village. Now because of this evil of wealth, material gain, your relatives farmed in those agricultural lands, you did not even know that you have a share in there. Because the property market was not booming, now it is booming. Now everyone is rushing. Before this, did we ever write letters? Did we ever pick up the phone to inquire about a family member in India or wherever? Today we know the whole family in UK, India, all over the show, because of that carrot dangling there. money to be made. We need to take a share in that property. Building family ties, maintaining ties, should not be for the sake of material gain. It should be for the pleasure of Allah. Whether you have a share in that land or not, keep ties, inquire about their welfare, look after their needs. That is going to count in the court of Allah. Many benefits of maintaining family ties. In one hadith, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that ta'allamu min ansabikum tasiluna bihi arhamakum fa inna silata rahim mahabbatun lil ahla masratun lil mal mansatun lil athar aw kama qala li salatu salam. That acquaint yourself with your family. Pious predecessors used to keep a family tree. They knew exactly who are the nephews and nieces, who are the family members. Today we walk on the streets. You do not even know that that little young boy is your nephew, niece, or your cousin's child. We have cut off ties. Yes, where there is some material gain, then we will rush. We have forgotten our families. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in this hadith, acquaint yourself with your family members, your relationship with them, so that you can join family ties. If you do not know your family, how are you going to join ties with them? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions the benefits that by maintaining family ties, it will create muhabbat, unity among the family. It will increase your sustenance. Allah will give barakah in the little that you have. Allah will give you value to your life. We cannot increase our lifespan, but we can bring quality into that life. Allah will give you quality, value in that life. A similar sentiment in another hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man ahabba yubsata lahu fi rizqihi, wa yunsa'a lahu fi asarihi, falyasil rahima." The person who loves to see barakah increase in his sustenance, he wants to put value to his life, derive maximum benefit from his life, let him join family ties. Leave aside family members. An incident in Muslim Sharif, in Abu Dawud, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, on one occasion, he is on a journey. He comes across a Bedouin from the rural areas, a simple villager. Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu was riding on a mule. He got off the mule. He gave that mule as a gift to that Bedouin. He took off his turban. He gave that as a gift. His companions on the journey said to him, "O Abdullah bin Umar, these Bedouins get pleased with even a little bit of material wealth. Why did you have to give so much to him, your mule and your turban?" He replied that this was a friend of my father, a friend of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. A hadith of Nabi Sallam tells us, "Inna min abarri al-barri silat al-rajul ahla waddi abihi ba'da ayyuwalliya." Aw kama qala li salatu salam. One of the highest form of neki of virtue is to maintain ties even with the friends of your fathers. Today we do not even remember the friends of our parents. We need to keep ties with them as well. Inquire about their welfare. See to their needs. So all the more important to inquire about the welfare of our family members. It should be an ongoing thing. Not only in isolated incidents. If we really ponder the reason for breaking your family ties today is greed for wealth. Wealth is leading to our destruction. Inheritance issues. Family members at loggerheads. Not seeing eye to eye. Usurping the land of others. A hadith warns, then man akhadha shibran min al-ardi zulman tuwiqa yawm al-qiyamah bi sab'i ardin aw kama qala li salatu salam. The person who usurps even a span's length of land, this much, like the size of this palm, from another person unjustly, he will be necklaced with the seven earths on the day of Qiyamah. That will be extreme torture. How can a person carry seven earths around his neck? Some commentators explain that the seven earths will become a necklace in this way. The man will be made to sink into the ground for usurping that land. He will go past each ground. There are seven earths. So the necklace of seven earths passing around his neck. Yet we do not bat an eyelid when stealing from others, usurping the property of others. An incident took place in India. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi used to explain this incident, where a wealthy father passed away, survived by two sons, older son, younger son. He left a huge estate, including valuable property. So two sons, no other heirs, 50-50, Sharia says. Agricultural land was divided in two portions. This brother got half, the other one got half. But exactly where the two properties met in the middle, there was a beautiful fruit tree that used to bear fruit year in, year out, right in between the two properties. Now look at these foolish brothers. Allah has given them somewhat, so much. What their father toiled for, worked for, on the plate, gratis. But they were not content. They fought over this fruit tree. He says it belongs to me. That brother says it belongs to him. Eventually litigation took place. Matter landed up in court. The lawyer's fees were so phenomenal, so exorbitant. Whatever they acquired in inheritance, they spent it on the lawyer's fees. They even sold these two pieces of land to pay the lawyers. Lawyers were laughing all the way to the bank. Eventually the judge made the decision. They chopped this tree, divided in two, used it as firewood. Half for you, half for you. Whereas if they use common sense, teachings of Sharia, the younger brother could have said, our father has left the world. You, the older brother, is in place of my father. You take the whole tree. When the fruit is in season, you give me whatever fruit you wish to. The older brother could have said to the younger one, Sharia teaches us to show mercy and compassion to our younger ones. So you keep the tree. You give me fruit when you want to. It should have resolved the problem. But no, greed. Not prepared to give in. Rather break family ties. Let the two brothers split, but not prepared to compromise. Today we forget our siblings. Leave aside siblings. We get our daughters married. Some people feel the daughters to be a burden, like the days of Jahiliyyah, that we got her married. It is the husband's responsibility now. Yes, maintenance is his responsibility. But to forget the daughter in a way that we never inquire, is she dying? Is she hungry? Is she in need? Yet she is your flesh and blood. Take a lesson from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day he comes out onto the streets of Medina under the hot desert sun, midday. No one used to emerge from their homes. Too hot. They would sit in the comfort, in the shade of the homes. After a little while, Nabi Sallam sees Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Sallam is astonished. What brought him out in this unearthly hour? He goes and asks him. He says, Al-Ju', hunger. No food at home. Came out in search of food. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he is asked, he also says, hunger drove me out of the home. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that is my situation as well. Hunger has made me restless. I cannot sleep in the daytime. For up to 3 moons, 2 months, the fire would not be lit in the house of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing to cook. So Nabi Sallam takes his two companions to Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, who was a host of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 6 months when he migrated to Medina before Nabi Sallam got his own living quarters. Let us go there. We'll get some food. He is not at home. His wife is overjoyed. Such noble guests. Abu Ayyub arrives radiallahu ta'ala. He is also overjoyed. He brings some khajur from his orchard, presents it, tells the wife to get some roti bread ready. In the meantime, he slaughters a goat, skins it, has the meat cooked. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions sit down to eat. On occasions like this, Nabi Karim sallam used to remind them that ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. You will be asked about these bounties. We emerged from our homes hungry, famished. Allah Ta'ala provided this barakat, this bounty. Then Nabi Sallam sat down to eat. He put a piece of meat on a piece of roti, about to put it into his mouth, and he thought of his beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. He sends someone with roti and meat. Then go give this to my daughter. She hasn't eaten for days. He first thought of his daughter before he could let that food go down his throat. Today we forget our daughters also. Son-in-law's responsibility. Not having the time to inquire. Family ties being broken. Let us make a firm resolution not to restrict this only on occasions of Eid, of weddings. Let it be an ongoing thing. Pick up the phone. Inquire about the welfare. Not for material gain. Do it for the pleasure of Allah. A hadith says that لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ كَالْمُكَافِي لَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ لِسَلَاةُ السَّلَامُ. That the true maintainer of family ties is not the one who gives in return for something. Not the tit-for-tat approach. Rather, when the other family member is breaking ties, you go forward, humble yourself, join the ties. Ask for mafi, even though you're not at fault. We're not going to go in the qabr or the wealth of the world. But that muhabbat, that family ties, will hold us in good stead on the day of Qiyamah. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allah accept our ibadat of the month of Ramadan, ibadat of the mu'takifin. This wonderful atmosphere going to end within a few days. Let us keep the masjid abad. Let us be here for all our farz namazes. The ornaments of the masjid are not the beautiful light fittings or the magnificent carpets. The ornaments are the musallis in the masjid. They add beauty to the masjid. So let us fill the masjids throughout the year. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana.